Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. God bless you. And we're going to put Brother Daniel's microphone on mute for just a moment. Going to say good morning to the young man from all the way down under. How are you, my friend? God bless you today.
I'm pretty good for 2 a.m. in the morning. I can't complain.
Excellent. Well, God bless you. Thanks for being up with us. Do you have something? Let's get right into it. You're looking at the elections. You're seeing what's happening. It's kind of what you said, if I could just remind everybody for a moment. This is what you said several weeks ago. There'd probably be a big red wave, a landslide election for Trump, but then something would turn, and we're into the quagmire now, and people have thrown away their hope, and, you know, everything is about, is Donald Trump going to win? And now we're in the middle of this battle, and the people that were laughing over at CNN are kind of getting nervous again. They got that strange look on their face. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. What are you seeing, Daniel?
It's very, very interesting. What I'm seeing is the media does not declare the presidency. That's the Electoral College is the one that does that. The media, nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the media declares the president. What the media did was downright reckless and dangerous. And the fact that they are so overwhelmingly confident within themselves that Biden is the president. Now, I believe that there is a tactical reason why they are doing that. And the reason why that they're doing that is because they are pretending Biden won with so much confidence so that the backlash is as strong as possible when the courts throw out the fraudulent ballots. That's my hunch. I believe that when the courts throw out, the evidence of voter fraud is just, there is so much of it. It's just incredible. Like, there are over 234 pages of affidavits from just one county in Michigan. It's just like, these are people who were sworn under oath. And if they're lying, I mean, they could go to jail for perjury. And yet they are saying that they witnessed firsthand voter fraud, that they witnessed illegal practices that were going on. And this is just in one county, in Wayne County in Michigan. So that just goes to show. And listen, there are thousands of people calling into organizations like Project Veritas and the Department of Justice, the FBI, and other advocacy groups as well. So even Judicial Watch and also the other organization that Jay Sekulow is associated with, which I think is called the American Council on I forget, but anyway. But there's all these organizations that are picking up information of all these thousands of people trying to say, hey, this is what I saw, this is what I witnessed. And it's incredible because they have basically every trick in the book, from dead people voting in massive numbers to absolutely fraudulently creating ballots that only exist for Biden, that exist only voting for Biden. You know, and by the way, they have identified at least 450 ballots in the key states that miraculously only have the mark for Joe Biden on them and no other candidate. I reckon this is absolutely scandalous. It's a scandal on epic proportions. And the press, the media, they are reprehensible. They are absolutely... they are being so dangerous by what they're doing by leading the public astray, because the media, the Democrats celebrating and the media celebrating is like this Titanic. And they're coming up to an iceberg that's called the Supreme Court of the United States. And they are inevitably going to hit that, and their celebrations are going to come. It's going to sink. It's going to sink fast. And when that happens, this is what I'm worried about, Vincent. Because the media have been so overwhelmingly confident and so arrogant that Biden is absolutely the president-elect, when it all unravels, when their house of cards comes down, the outrage, I'm telling you, it will be an explosion of violence and lawlessness, the like of which would make the George Floyd riots like a picnic.
Well, amen to that. And what I find amazing, you brought up the Titanic, and just this week, a couple of days ago, they were talking about they have now got some discovery underway for the actual Titanic, and people are going to have to spend $125,000 to go do an exploratory look at it, to take a look at the Titanic. And it's kind of a reemerging idea. And I wonder if that's some kind of a prophetic sign or symbol to our country to remember that the great ship that could not be sunk. And what you're saying again is what I think a lot of people are talking about. Thousands of businesses in the United States boarded up their windows, because if Trump would have won the election, they were bracing for impact of violence. Now that Joe Biden, quote unquote, according to the media, won, if that ever get turned around, that would just accelerate the massive violence, correct?
Absolutely. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I mean, and this is what I've been saying. And, you know, like, I actually came out with a post about a few days before the election, and I said that I have this sick feeling in the pit of my stomach that that what will happen is that Trump will win. He will win. That he will. Well, no. What I said was is that the election will be drawn out. It'll be drawn out, and that because of the mail-in ballots, it will cause for this dragging out period of time, and then that will cause massive controversy. And I actually said that the violence that would result as a fact would just be overwhelming. But isn't it interesting, Vincent? Doesn't it say a lot, the fact that once Biden won, they took the boards down off their windows because there wasn't going to be any rioting.
Absolutely.
I just think that says a lot. In fact, I mentioned that on my page, and I said, why are there no, now that, you know, Biden is president-elect, per se, why don't we see Republicans rioting in the streets? And I said, asking for a friend. Some people got offended at it, because some people are trying to maintain the idea that there is a moral equivalence between the Democrats and the way that react, and Republicans in the way that they react. to disappointing news. And I think it's, and in fact, it was Donald Trump Jr. who actually came out and said 70 million, he said, paid off Republicans and not one city burning to the ground. I'm thinking, yep, you're absolutely correct. And that says an absolute lot. That says a lot.
Let me ask you this question. With this, and I'm going to step into this probably the rest of this week, tomorrow and Friday on the broadcast. I want to talk more about, there are calls going out all over this country. I was on one last night where hundreds of people, and then there's a call where thousands of people are listening on these different conference calls, and there's prayer, and they have all these different individuals across the country in different states that are in the head of their, you know, intercessory prayer groups. And what they're hanging on to, what the battle is right now in the prayers, is that the prophetic voice in America that they call the prophetic voice assured everybody that Donald J. Trump was going to have a two-term presidency. And this goes back to Kim Clement. This goes back to some of the biggest voices and the well-known people that you hear about in our country. The concerning thing is, and what I'm hearing, is the way that the news media, you know, said that Biden won. Well, a lot of people that were part of that prayer and listening to those prophets, they just bailed out and said, you know, this is nonsense. I don't even want to be a part of this stuff anymore. And, you know, these, now the people are fighting, you know, interceding, praying that there's going to be a turn, that Trump is going to win. The prophetic voice is going to be there. Daniel, if that doesn't happen, I'm talking about biblical, spiritual, church things now. If that does not happen, what is going to happen to the millions of people that were listening to the voice of the quote-unquote prophets in America who declared that this would be? And if it is not, how is that going to shake their faith in your understanding of?
I think it'll leave a lot of people disillusioned. A lot of people will be disillusioned. A lot of ministries will be discredited. In fact, in some ways, I think it'll be kind of like a judgment. And will reveal a lot of intentions. It will reveal the God will pull away the veil. He will pull away the veil and it will expose a lot of ministries. I do hope that there is a lot of sincere acknowledgements of their mistake, and that they would be transparent and that they would apologize for it. And I don't think people should actually be condemning these people to, and being, I think there still needs to be a measure of grace in the sense that these people can make mistakes, and we need to have that approach in regard to that. They need to come out and say, I was wrong. Absolutely. They need to have the courage to do that. But yeah, Vincent, I think a lot of people will be disillusioned by that. I think it'll do the church a great disservice, and I really hate to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, they're big voices. All right, so this Saturday there is a movement for 1 million people to go to Washington, D.C., considering actually going ourselves, because I came away with the understanding of the Adonijah-Solomon battle. And that Adonijah, when David was old, set himself up and said, I'm going to be the king, had a big party, big celebration. And then when Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet told King David, he said, take Solomon down to Gihon, anoint him, sit him on my throne. And when the people heard of Solomon's being ordained by the king and the anointing of the prophets in Gihon, the people shook. And I kind of drew a parallel of what's happening right now, where there's something moving saying, well, Joe Biden's the elect and he's gathering everybody. There's this big victory celebration. But at the same time, there is the in the backdrop saying, wait a second, this isn't the way it's going to be. So if the people that voted for Donald J. Trump would show up by the millions to inaugurate the president and say, we, the people of the United States, voted you in. We're not going to stand for the false votes, the false ballots. This would really bring a drawing, you know, a line in the sand, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. Look, there's so many things that can be drawn out. There's so many things that this could do actually do for the church. I think that the let's just say hypothetically that Biden will be inaugurated. I don't believe he will, actually. I think the evidence is quite overwhelming in regard to what they're beginning to uncover. And I think when the legal process is done, I think I think Trump will get back in. But let's just say, hypothetically, if Biden does be inaugurated, I think it's going to be a time of massive, massive testing, not for the church and for the nation. I think you need to understand that Biden is going to enact the Equality Act, which will open the floodgates of persecution upon the church. Look, this is wokeness on steroids. This is political correctness off the charts. I mean, the whole transgender agenda is going to have new life breathed into it. You're going to see ridiculous political correctness things like, gosh, you name it, like gender neutral toilets, all those things will be back in full swing. Like, I don't think people really have an idea just how off the charts he really is going to take the direction. I mean, it's going to be much further leftward than Obama. And here's the thing, Benson, and here again, here's my hunch. I've got this feeling that maybe 3 weeks, could be maybe even 6 months, I've got this feeling that the Democrats will deliberately enact the 25th Amendment and that they will get rid of Biden and that they will usher in Kamala Harris in his place. Now, there are two ways that they could enact the 25th Amendment. They could enact it on the grounds of the fact of his deteriorating health, with his mental condition, with his, the fact that he's got dementia is becoming evident. Well, it's not evident to the Democrats because the media hid it very, very cleverly. They concealed the fact that he was struggling. But us Republicans, conservatives, I meant to say, those who have been following conservative media, we have been seeing every single one of those gaffes, every single one of those slip-ups. And so he's in the stages of dementia, which is worrying, very worrying. So they could enact the 25th Amendment on his deteriorating mental capacity. They could also enact the 25th Amendment on the fact of the scandal of his son's involvement with Burisma and also taking millions upon millions of dollars from China, and the fact that his son acted as a bad man, where he was getting money using his father's influence to enrich himself, and that his own father was getting cuts from his deals. I think if that came, you know, the Democrats could actually use that. They could use that in invoking the 25th Amendment. I don't think they will, actually. I think they will use his deteriorating health to enact the 25th Amendment. And then you have President Kamala Harris. President Kamala Harris will be an absolute disaster for America. She is further left than Bernie Sanders, further left than Bernie Sanders, and the things that she will destroy the country.
Absolutely, she would destroy the country. And you know, this to me, and I said it yesterday, that the entirety of what's happening in our country is a judgment. The very fact that we're even here right now is a judgment. What I'd like to ask you, what is the Equality Act that you were just referring to?
Well, the Equality Act, go and look it up, Google it. The Equality Act, basically, it's a rewriting of the Civil Rights Act, and but it expands upon it. It expands upon it. It basically removes churches' exemption. Really, it's a Trojan horse that dismantles the First Amendment. It's a Trojan horse which dismantles the First Amendment. That's what it does. I mean, it removes churches' exemption. It basically will hold them accountable that if they say anything about the LGBT movement, that they will be liable to be sued. It will enforce quotas, right? It'll force, how can I say, not gender quotas, it'll force quotas on churches, where they will have to have an obligation, not churches per se, but other religious organizations, where they will have to hire one gay, black, like they have to have a representation in the name of diversity and inclusivity. they'll have to have quotas where they can show that they are hiring LGBT and they can't refuse them. There's no way that they could ever possibly refuse them. There's no way that they could ever fire them based on their sexuality. It's terrifying. Basically, they will dismantle the First Amendment with the Equality Act.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, if in fact Joe Biden on January 20th steps into an office and is declared the President of the United States of America, the Christian church needs to understand what that means, and you've just laid it out. And when you boil it down and you bring it to the bottom line, it's what Jesus said in Luke 17 would happen in the last days. He said that likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they building. And we know what else happened in the days of Lot. The environment in Sodom and Gomorrah was absolutely vexation to his soul every single day. So a Biden presidency would afford an atmosphere like the days of Lot because of the release of the homosexual agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. Everything may come out into pedophilia and you name it. That's what we're really looking at. Stranglehold upon the church, persecution. That would be a very, you're talking days away now from this becoming a possibility.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thankfully that the House actually picked up a few seats for the Republicans. And it looks like Nancy Pelosi is not going to get the votes for her to remain speaker. So that's a plus.
Okay.
Another really good news is that there's been a whole swathe of pro-life women that have won seats, apparently. So that's really encouraging. And it looks like that they're not going to get Senate majority, which was a major issue. I mean, if they lost – in fact, there is a good chance that they'll probably even gain even more senators as the legal – wrangling continues. Thankfully, they're not going to be able to do their plan, which would essentially turn America into a one-party state. I mean, some of the things that they had planned were just, well, number one, they plan on eliminating the filibuster, which would mean that they'll be able to ram things through the Senate without any issue. The next thing was that they had planned on doing was to pack the Supreme Court, and they're going to take advantage of the fact that in the Constitution that doesn't clearly specify that there needs to be a specific number of Supreme Court justices. I mean, they're going to take a leaf out of what FDR did, and that was a disaster. It didn't work. In fact, in some ways, it kind of went against them. So they're going to plan on packing the Supreme Court so that they can get some more liberal justices, which means that they can actually implement their agenda via the legislative branch, which is the Supreme Court. And then the other thing that I think is really insidious is the sense that they want to destroy the Electoral College. They want to remove the Electoral College. It just goes to show just how totalitarian these people are, which meant that they could only – that meant that if they remove the Electoral College, it means that their presidential candidate could just campaign in New York and campaign in Los Angeles, and that's all they'll need to do. Because they wouldn't need to go to Utah. They wouldn't need to go to Nebraska or any other so-called battleground state. There will be no battleground states anymore. And so the middle America will completely lose their voice, It'll be an absolute disaster. But this is what they're trying to build towards. They're trying to make it so there will never, ever, ever again be another Reagan or Donald Trump conservative that could become a president of the United States. They want to make that an impossibility.
So, again, if you're a Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian in the United States of America under a Joe Biden presidency, you would expect that there would come suffocation, there would come some form of persecution, the environment would be rank, and people would be living in that context of an environment. And then there wouldn't be much to talk about other than how to survive Sodom and the atmosphere, the choking atmosphere. But remember that Abraham is always outside of this reality, and there will be a people dwelling on the mountaintops with Abraham, taking care of the angels as they're visiting with him. Abraham's people always go on into the eternal purpose. Now, under a Trump administration, he steps into the office. Everything is now peace and calm, and everything's just A-OK, right?
Not in the immediate sense.
No, what really happens is violence.
Like I said, there's going to be an explosion of violence and lawlessness that will just be off the charts. And this is why the media is actually a part of this. It's absolutely shameless, the fact that they are trying to build and build and build. And then when the Supreme Court rules against it, the media is going to be like, can you believe what they just did? This is absolutely, you know, and they will play it. They will work the people. They will aggravate the people. And they'll be pushing for maximum chaos because that's what they want. Here's the thing. Chaos is the communists' best friend. Chaos is the communists' best friend because that provides the environment for revolution. Revolution is not possible without an environment of chaos. Okay, that's what they're going to be pushing for, because if they can't win by the election, then they have to resort to a coup. They have to resort to an insurrection.
And
that's why.
Let me just interject a question here. Isn't that exactly what the Islamic theology is as well? Ahmad Ahmadinejad, they've got it. That's their responsibility.
Yeah, and that's how the Islamists and radical leftists, they share that same principle, because they both believe that they both come to power through revolution. And as we saw in 1979, the Iranian revolution, when the Ayatollahs came to power, again, it was an atmosphere of chaos. This is what they build upon. They thrive upon chaos, and then they use the chaos for them to ascend to power. That's how they do it. And so they have to build a maximum stability, a maximum fear, so that they can get their way. By the way, Biden's going to destroy the American economy. He is so hook, line, and sinker into the green agenda. Like, it's just crazy. I mean, number one, he's going to re-enter into the Paris Climate Accord, where he'll be giving hundreds of billions of dollars of American taxpayer money into this UN fund, which is basically redistribution. It's basically economic redistribution, distributing American taxpayer money to poor nations to help them to fight climate change. That's what it is. Now, the other thing is that he's going to reverse Trump's decision with NATO. So in other words, America will have to pay billions of dollars back to NATO. In other words, they'll be the ones footing the bill again, and the NATO partners won't have to. They can shirk on their responsibilities. But the other thing, as well, as that he's going to be implementing some harsh. I mean, you heard him at the debates where he said he wants to do away with the America's energy district. He wants to put a stop to the fracking, and this will crush America's economy. Mm. It will absolutely crush America's economy. And this is what Americans need to be aware of, because this is his agenda. And if he does that, it's all over, Red Rover. You would actually see like, gosh, I can't even begin to imagine just the economic destitution that will result from that.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you, with these two perspectives, it spells one thing. Whether or regardless of which man steps into that office, there's going to be turmoil, there's going to be chaos in our country, and God's kids need to be prepared for that. Believers need to be prepared for that. So I want to ask you about the spiritual perspective now. If you're in heaven, you're in like John was on the island of Patmos, but you get caught into the throne room of God, and you're there in the throne of God Almighty, and you're seeing what heaven is doing right now, the spiritual perspective, interpretation of all that this is. And that's what we're looking for, a spiritual interpretation of the signs of the times as we look through the biblical lens. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a number of different things. I think that if America does go through this Biden presidency, it'll do a number of different things for the church. I think it will be the church will find herself in the position where she will, the creature comforts will be gone, for starters. In fact, you know, I think it was Stephen J. Lawson who said something very, very interesting. He actually said this. Oh, where is it? Here it is. He said, the church is generally strongest when her opposition is the greatest. Adversity revives the church while prosperity ruins her. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely.
He says prosperity ruins the church. But he said that adversity revives the church. So in that regard, I think there could be a lot of positives that will come out of it. And you know what Leonard Ravenhill said? Leonard Ravenhill said the early church was married to poverty, prisons, executions. Today, the church is married to prosperity, personality, and popularity. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's going to get the church back into a position of strength again. And again, as it, you know, Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, we think about that with our as individuals, that for when we are weak, then we are strong in the Lord. But it's also the same for churches. When the churches are persecuted and they are put into a weak position in the natural, that is when they become strong. That is when they become strong.
Amen. Okay, so we can honestly say that there are Bible passages that were spoken to us from the prophets, from the Psalms, from the writings, from the Tanakh, into the Gospels, into the epistles, that there is a message for God's people that we should be recognizing what's going on globally here at the end of the end of the end of the ages right now. And there are instructions for us. And where are we at with the instructions? I mean, if we were to give plain instruction right now to the body of Christ, what would we be telling them? I mean, there's peace in the midst of the storm. I know that. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the upheaval, there is a place in Christ, in the Spirit, in the anointing, in the Holy Spirit of God, the grace of God, that you could live your life. What are the instructions that you're hearing for the church right now, Daniel?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of people that are really hurting and really angry. A lot of people are still really, really angry. They're seething. They are livid over what they've seen, what they've witnessed. You know, 70% of Republicans believe that the election was stolen. They believe the election was stolen. And so there are a lot of people who are feeling really angry right now. I would say that people just need to trust the Lord, and that the Lord has a day in store for the wicked. The Lord has a day in store for the wicked. So just be to reassure them in regard to that. But, you know, I think moving forward, I think people are going to start to think more about how they need to adjust in regard to persecution. Here's the other thing, Vincent, is that Joe Biden is going to open the door to Islam. He's going to open the door to Islam. He has said that he is going to have Muslims in every area of his administration. Okay? Gosh. Not only that, but he's going to remove the travel bans from problematic Islamic nations. So Yemen and Somalia, I'm not sure Somalia, but I know that Syria, Iraq, all those nations where there is Islamic extremist problems, he's removing all those travel bans because, you know, according to them, Trump racist for doing that. Trump had America's safety in mind when he implemented those bans, yet Biden is going to reverse all those things, which means that America is going to be exposed. America is going to be exposed. You could expect the terrorism to go up again, just as it was under Obama. That is another thing that calls for concern. But again, getting back to the scriptures, you know, Habakkuk, Habakkuk complained to the Lord. He says, Lord, why aren't you doing anything about what's going on in Jerusalem? Why aren't you doing anything about the injustice that I witnessed day after day with the people taking advantage of the poor and taking advantage of the orphans and widows and, you know, and there's all this deceit and lies and all this injustice, and you're not doing anything about it. And the Lord says, well, actually, Habakkuk, I am doing something about it. And he says, well, what? He says, I'm raising up the Babylonians. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that impetuous people that seize places not their own. They are a law unto themselves. So I believe that God will use Islam to bring judgment upon the West and judgment upon America. And I believe he's well within his right to do that. I think that's part of the end time plan. You know, three times in the book of Jeremiah, three times, God refers to Nebuchadnezzar as his servant. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. In other words, he sees the Babylonians as his servant to bring judgment upon Israel. And in the same way, God will use Islam to bring judgment upon America and upon the West. So, in that, again, so this is divine judgment. And I believe we need to pray, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And to ask God for wisdom in regard to the days ahead. To ask the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. You know, the Holy Spirit is constantly wanting to communicate to the church, but are we listening? You know, as it says, Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to be hearing what the Lord is saying, and we need to be obedient.
You know, Daniel, that's excellent impartation. The scriptures are replete. We have read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians, the book of Revelation, 2 Peter. We've seen a tying in of the Old and New Testaments. There comes a time in the instructions that God gives us through the mechanisms that he does that the people of God have to have that wisdom to recognize, well, when do I flee to the mountains of Judea? When do I come out of her, my people? When do I, you know, go into the wilderness? When do I disconnect and go? Because those were the instructions. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, then go. And I think a lot of people right now are pretty well situated, pretty well kind of stuck in their life right now, and are very comfortable and don't like to be moved. They don't want to be destabilized, if you will. And yet these destabilizing times are coming. And there are some people in the body of Christ that are not cuckoo, they're not crazy, that have already been making their way out. They've been in preparation, waiting for that instruction. And Daniel, I'm going to tell you my heart right now, and you can speak into this however you want to, something that is down deep, way down deep inside, as a view, as an observation of what we see in Christendom today. I believe there is an extreme arrogance in the body of Christ. And I believe at the upper echelons to the lowest part, there is arrogance. And I believe that there is something ready to take place because God loves his church. To deal with the arrogant spirit that's been in the house of God, people raising their voice one against another, et cetera, et cetera. You know, my way or the highway, I'm right, you're wrong. This is the way it's going to be. I fear that the shallowness that many saints are walking in, there's no depth because there hasn't been a real brokenness. There's been no penetration. They haven't had to walk through much. I'm concerned in a good way that the arrogance, which is God's best for his church, to get that spirit out of the way so we can become more effective. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think it'll do a number of different things. In fact, you know what was, I think we will see in the days ahead, and again, persecution will be the catalyst for this, but you know what happened in the time of the Roman Empire, and this was just... this was in the time of just before Constantine. I mean, the persecution of the Christians was really bad under Vespasian and Nero. The persecution was just, gosh, I mean, Nero used to light up, put Christians in cages and cover them with tar and light them up as lights for his dinner parties. He did horrific things to Christians. I mean, the persecution was just off the charts. But what happened was, by the time of Constantine, Constantine declared that the Roman Empire was to be a Christian empire, and that the official religion of the Roman Empire was going to be Christian. Now, when that happened, all the persecution within the empire stopped. There was no more persecution. And what that actually did for the church was interesting, because the church then basically began to navel gaze, and the church began to break up. Churches began to splinter. They began to separate. Because they had doctrinal differences, and some would say we need to say the creed this way, and others would say no, we say the creed this way, and others will split on other petty issues, and it compromised the power of the church. It broke the power of the church, because before that, when the church was actually united, they had incredible power, like real power.
Yeah.
You know, not the power that, you know, but they had that the church had incredible power, because they were united. They were one. They were one in heart, one in soul. They were one in spirit, in a sense that, you know, and that's what persecution did. And because it just solidified everyone. Well, it solidified the real believers, because there was no, you know, you didn't become a Christian if you didn't understand the cost that you were going to pay. So I think for America, it'll almost be like going backwards. It will be going from great comfort and great convenience into persecution, and it will reverse the sense that America will go from being very splintered and very have all these different agreements among the body, you know, over a lot of petty things. Obviously not talking about fundamental doctrinal things like salvation and things like that, and the blood of Jesus and, you know, and his atonement. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about the petty things that divide us. Persecution will cause to unite the church once again. And I believe that's a positive. That's a great positive, because the church will regain its power that it had lost before it actually splintered into different groups. So I think that's something that's worth considering.
Oh, it's absolutely worth considering. We were, you know, so I'm getting a perspective right now. Yeah, I'm a Christian man. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Word of God. I've had an experience with the Lord my whole life, 38 years. There's been truth and reality that he's real. It's not a figment of my imagination. I have testimony. I have witness that God is good, and he's done amazing things in my personal life, as he does in the lives of multiplied millions around the world. Some people suffer a lot more. Some people have been beheaded, persecuted, as you just talked about. But God is real. God is good, and I trust him. And yet, in that position, I think within myself, okay, what I want, and maybe you could straighten me out with this. What I desire is not my own desire. It's like the Bible says God puts his desire in our hearts. I desire for Jesus Christ to come on this earth, right, and set up his kingdom. And yet I wonder, is he waiting for us to do that? Are we supposed to be here setting up, building his kingdom in this earth, electing people into positions of power to rule things? And is he just ruling from heaven, empowering us to get that job done? Or is the mandate of the church to be salt and light to win souls? Because Daniel, I'm reading out of Revelation chapter 20, and I'm seeing a powerful verse here that the day is coming. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then in the description, the day of accountability, the day of judgment, the day of final decisions, the day of either being cast into the lake of fire or somehow being relieved from that condition. There's a day of judgment. There's a day of accountability. And I want to be prepared for that day, because I know people could have their name in the book of life, and according to the book of Revelation, it blotted out and erased. I know that people will believe that they're saved and say, Lord, Lord, and the majority of them will be told, I don't know you. So in the midst of this conflagration in earthly things, I need to maintain a spiritual condition of the heart, not to be offended at the brethren, not to be proud, not to be afraid, not to be unforgiving. I have a huge responsibility for my own personal welfare to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And that's why we can't get too caught up in all of these things that are going on. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Could you just reiterate that question? Just
it was not a question. It was my statement. My statement, young man. That's only three in the morning for you.
That's right. It's 2:45. And I'm struggling a little bit.
What I'm actually saying is it's just an obvious call to all of God's kids that you're living in this world. There's turmoil, there's conflict, there's instability, there's commotion, and you have to know what you're doing with your time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And you can't just walk around, you know, haphazardly, whimsically, kind of driven about with every wind of doctrine and following things. We have a real job to do in being salt and light, but also to make sure at the end of our lives that we're going to hear a genuine welcome, good and faithful servant, not just a supposition. Well, Lord, knock, knock, I'm opening up to me. Here I am. I did all this stuff, right? There's an internal cleansing of the heart that is necessary for right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think if anything, with what we are experiencing at the moment, and I think you'd have to be living under a rock not to admit that what we have witnessed this year is not birth pains. I mean, for crying out loud, I think the Lord is really trying to get our attention. And again, think about Pastor Dana's vision that he had, which I thought was interesting. Remember that the finger tapped on the march, the finger tapped again on June, and that's when the Black Lives Matter finger tapped again. I think it was September, I think, and then it tapped again. Oh, the fist smashed November, which is interesting because that could really well be fulfilled in regard to what we were discussing earlier. So, I think that what we are witnessing, I mean, all these are birth pains. I believe all these things that are going on really needs to make us focus on what the Lord wants for us. We need to have absolute laser focus. We cannot be distracted. In fact, if you remember what Jesus said in Luke 21, he said that watch out that you are not caught up with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, because that day will close on you like a trap. He said, watch out that you're not distracted, you know, for that day coming will close on you like a trap. Mm. And I think that's sobering. I think that's really sobering, because we need to be laser focused in the days that we're living in right now. We need to be very prayerful. In fact, Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. I think that's so important. Also, too, you know, Vincent, I think it's interesting that, you know, the book of Daniel is the manual for living in Babylon, isn't it? I mean, Daniel himself, the prophet, lived in Babylon. The book of Daniel is very practical. And, you know, the book of Daniel is actually divided into two halves. Chapters 1-6 is all about a manual in how to live as a believer in a hostile society that hates God and that hates believers. It's a manual on how to do that, how not to compromise, and how to stand firm. But the other half, so from chapter 7 to chapter 12, is all about the signs that we are to look for. It's about the signs that we are to look for. So the first half is about how to stand, how to pray, how to live as a uncompromising believer living in Babylon, whereas the second half is about watching. This is what you need to watch for. And I think there is a lot of wisdom in regard to that.
Amen. There is a lot of wisdom. And I have a word for somebody. Somebody's listening right now, and you're saying, well, what are we really talking about here? The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And, you know, this could go for a lot of people. But, you know, if you want to live an abundant life in Christ and you want to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life and you want to become empowered to do whatever God calls you to do, break relationship with things that are not full of light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Give no place to the devil, not even a little tiny inch. Give him no place. And a lot of people at this point, they throw up their towels and say, wait a second, we're under grace here. We could do what we want to do. I wouldn't do that. I would say, if you don't want to be deceived in this hour, make sure your heart and your hands are clean. Really examine your heart. And if you're in relationship with somebody that isn't going all the way, you're around a lukewarm person, be careful. Be careful for people that are not wanting to talk about the stuff. They don't want to, you know, read the scriptures. They don't want to go to Bible study. I'm telling you, watch out. You need to get around people who are on blazing fire for the Lord. When nobody's watching, when the doors are closed, I'm just saying they are in relationship with God. They are walking with the Lord. They're obeying the voice of God. They're doing what the word says to do. You need to affiliate yourself and associate yourself with those members of the body. And if you're with somebody in the world, you know, and you just have a friendship, listen, the Bible's very clear. Have no friendship. What does the light have to do with the darkness? Yes, there's a call to separation as a Christian believer. And sometimes I'm telling you, when you separate from things that are not right, that they're just kind of a harassment, peace will come into your life. There's probably a lot of Christians out there. There are a lot of Christians out there that have been experiencing turmoil, and it's probably due to an open door in your soul from a relationship you have with people that aren't right before the Lord. Watch out for that. Just wanted to bring that in, Daniel. Go ahead. We've got about 8 minutes left in the broadcast. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been thinking about a lot of different things. And I speculate on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I speculate on the restrainer. It says that the restrainer, you know, that the Antichrist will be revealed when the restrainer is taken out of the way. When the restrainer is removed, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. And there's been a lot of conjecture over church history. Throughout all of church history, many have said this, some said that. I know that many in the pre-trib camp actually believe it's the Holy Spirit. Other people believe it's the Archangel Michael. What I think is interesting is that the early church, the patristic church fathers, believed that the restrainer was the dissolution of the Roman Empire. So they believed that the Roman Empire was going to exist right up to when Jesus would come back. But they believed that when the Roman Empire was going to break up, that's what meant, you know, that out of the chaos of the Roman Empire collapsing, that the man of lawlessness would be revealed. And I thought it was interesting that they thought that it would be an empire. Which leads me to believe that I think that they were onto something, because it could very well be an empire, or it could be a nation. It could be, I mean, think about all the effort that the globalists and the leftists and when you think of all the effort that they are putting into right now to bring America down, their goal is to bring America down. That's their goal. And if they can achieve that, then they can bring about their globalist government. That's what they want. That's what their goal is, to bring about a globalist government with a global leader. So I have a hunch that that the restrainer could very well be the United States. Just think about it. Remember what Ronald Reagan said? He said, if we lose our freedom here, there is no other place to escape to. He said, this is the last stand on earth. And I believe he's got a very strong point in regard to that. And another thing too, and this is what I thought was interesting, because Karl Marx said this. Karl Marx said, wipe North America from the map of the world and you will have anarchy, the complete decay of modern commerce and civilization. The fact that he said that is very, it's intriguing. Not that I'm saying that he's a prophet. He's not. He's a very evil man. But I think what a lot of these people are saying is right. I mean, it was Abraham Lincoln said that that America is the best hope, is the best hope. And I think there are a bunch of others that said very similar along the lines. The truth of the matter is this. If America goes down, we all go down. The free world is gone. The free world is gone. And the I believe a totalitarian global government that will have Islamic that will have a bit of an Islamic influence within it will rise will actually rise to the detriment of the United States. That's just my thoughts. Now I've thought, you know, when you think of all the effort that they're trying to put into bringing Trump down, just think about just how obsessed they are. They are incredibly just absolutely obsessed, like the passion and the rage that they have and the intention and the fact that they would, the lengths that they would go steal the election and just how brazen they were to do that. It just goes to show like the satanic element. There is a satanic element there where they would go beyond, you know. I remember David Horowitz. David Horowitz is a ex-communist. He wrote a book of, called The Black Book of the American Left. And he said in a speech, he said, if you knew that utopia was just around the corner, if you knew that utopia was just around the corner, what lie would you not tell and what law would you not break to bring that into reality? Okay.
Yeah.
They don't believe in objective moral values. They don't believe that lying is wrong. Okay. The end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. They will do anything. They will break laws. They will tell lies. They will even steal an election if it meant that they could bring about their utopia. So, yeah. So it could very well. America could very well be the restrainer, and once America is removed, the man of lawlessness could be revealed. That's, look, it's entirely plausible. It's entirely plausible. And I know many others will say, no, it means this, it means that, you know. But that's just my theory. That's just my thoughts. I could be wrong, I could be completely wrong, but that's just what my thoughts in regard to that.
Well, I think those are amazing thoughts, and I think they do line up. You know, you said something earlier, and we're seconds in the broadcast right now. You said something earlier about there was something in the pit of your stomach. And I wonder how many people listening to this broadcast right now or people that are out there are beginning to, when we calm down and we really begin to discuss things at in the spiritual place, if it's kind of like waking up one day and going, oh my God, I've drifted, you know, 100 miles off course here, and or some realization of we're closer than what we think, an urgency begins to come in. Of the stomach. You know, Daniel, I feel that today. I feel that something in the pit of the stomach, and I don't know what to call it, but I believe something very sinister is ready to be released. Your final thoughts before we go today.
Yeah, I believe right now that we are in the calm before the storm. We are in the calm before the storm. There is going to be a storm that will come. And it will be huge. And people just need to brace yourself. Brace yourself. But don't be apprehensive and don't be anxious. So you need to know that the disciples were terrified by a storm, right? Mm-hmm. But Jesus was in their boat. Jesus was in their boat. That is absolutely critical. So that when it happens, don't be afraid. Don't throw up your arms and run around in a panic. Listen, when it seems like everything is falling apart. Things are actually falling into place. And this is in the plan of God. You just need to rest in Him.
And Daniel, you would agree, I know you would, with those parting words, that the bottom line, the end of the commandment, boil it all down, keep yourselves in the love of God, and, you know, start thinking about, you know, what is love? What kind of love do you want me to love? Well, there are four loves we know about in the Greek, and that is the agape love, the unconditional love for all people, the storge love, the family love, the eros love between a husband and wife, and the phileo love in the body of Christ. And these four loves should be activated and operative in our lives purposely. Am I really showing love, and am I losing sight of self and seeing others better than myself? Am I willing to condescend to men of low estate and exalt others before myself? You know, this is a walk we are going to need each other in the body of Christ. And I know that's a lot of people have said it for years. We're going to need each other. We are going to need that friendly touch, that smile, that encouraging word, that inspiration, you know, get up, keep going, don't give up now. Because as I'm understanding the end times, we're talking about the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And you could go back in history and look at times of tribulation and how that pressure hit people's lives and they were not able to go on. That is what is coming if we are accurate about the timeline and what we're seeing through the biblical lens. And this is imperative that we keep ourselves in the love of Christ.
Amen. Remember what Jesus said? He said, work while you have daylight, for night is coming. He said, work while you have daylight, for night is coming when no man can work.
Well,
when we need to take that on board. The time is going to come when the church, believers, the saints are going to be handed over to the lawless one. They're going to be handed over to the Antichrist for a time, times and half a time, for 3.5 years. We need to remind ourselves of that. So we need to know. And by the way, you know that the early church looked forward to that. The early church, they relished the opportunity to be a part of the exciting time in human history, and they saw of the opportunity to live through that like a badge of honor. They were looking forward to it, and so should we. Think about it, people. You need to pinch yourself. We need to pinch ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are living in the most exciting time in all of human history, and who would have thought we would be alive to see this? There are many others that came and went before us who wished they would absolutely. If they would be wished that they could actually see what we see and experience what we are experiencing. And we are blessed. We are blessed. And when the time comes when we are handed over to the Antichrist for that period of time, you know, we're going to be blessed because we will be enduring. And the Lord said, our Lord said, that he who stands firm to the end will be saved. He who stands firm to the end. Seven times Jesus said in the book of Revelation, to him who overcomes, I will give this, with seven different rewards for overcoming. And I believe that the Lord will give us the grace to overcome. He will give us the grace to overcome. What does it say in Revelation 12? It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. You know, this is so good. I want to press you for one more minute, and then I'm going to let you go, okay? Because it's late where you are. People are being terrified by the idea of a vaccination, and this is something they've been talking about for a long time now. A vaccination. We heard good things. We heard, man, you need it. The president said everybody's going to want it. The military is going to roll it out. I don't know how it's looking over in Australia, what their idea for vaccination, if this is just, I know we're talking about America, but is there a global vaccination that's coming? What are your thoughts about the upcoming vaccination shot, if any? And if you don't want to talk about it, we could do it another time.
I believe that there is some talk. I'm just trying to work out and see if I can find it. Here it is here, I think. Is that it? That there is some talk that the sorry if I'm a little, flaying a little bit, but there's some talk that they won't, when they distribute the vaccine, that they won't actually, that they're going to distribute it as a global thing. But when they said that, I thought that was interesting. The fact that they're going to distribute this vaccine globally all at the same time.
So that's the plan.
I thought, Yeah, and just wait and see, I'd say. Just wait and see. I think it might be partnered with something else. It could be. It could be. It may, maybe, maybe not. They may even say that you cannot buy or sell unless you have this. And if they do say that, I mean, that's a very strong indicator. But keep your eyes open and ask the Lord for wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. And ask the Lord for discernment, and he'll give you discernment. Let's just see what happens.
All right. And with that being said, let us pray for a supernatural unction of the Holy Spirit to quicken our immune system. God can do this. He built these immune systems. He created them. And by the anointing, our immune systems could become supernatural that could ward off all of it. Believe for it. In the name of Jesus, God is well able to take care of us. Brother Daniel, God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us once again on The Watchman. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for keep on watching. And anytime you get something really important, let me know. I want to bring you back onto these airways. We can set it up anytime so information, important information could be shared. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. That's Daniel Seckham. He's out. He went bye-bye. He is going to go to sleep now at 3:05 a.m. in the morning. And we're going to look forward to seeing you tomorrow. We're going to talk about a number of different things tomorrow. We'll see how the Spirit leads, what God wants to do. I know there are some mighty voices out there that need to be heard. We always want to be encouraging you that if you know someone that has something very important that they need to share, some revelation, information, wisdom, insight to what's going on in our world today, make sure you direct them into this radio broadcast. We'll make sure to bring them on the air and let them share their hearts. We've got too little time to waste. Too little time to waste. Right now, do you want to know how to prosper in the time of famine? Have you ever considered that in the last days, how many scriptures say that there'll be famine on the earth? And yet there are other instructions in the Word of God how to prosper during a time of famine. Can you believe it? It's called opportunity in the midst of a crisis, right? So many people have prospered through difficult times. Do you want to know how to do it through the wisdom of Scripture? Well, right now on OmegaRadio.org, OmegaRadio.org, there's a roundtable discussion about that exact topic. How to prosper in the time of famine. You should go there. You should listen to that broadcast. If you can, put it on in your iPad, wherever. I want to thank you personally for joining this radio broadcast. And remember to like us, subscribe to us, and donate to the ministry when you can. You could go to our website at nwmglobal.org. And if you have a desire to sow into this ministry, may God multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And thank you for considering this radio broadcast something worthy of your investment. And again, may God bless your investment and make it great. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I'm going to go. I'll see you tomorrow right here on The Watchman at 9 a.m. Again, omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion. We'll see you there. Shalom, everybody. Have a super blessed day.